XM, Channel 211, the Dan Patrick Channel. I'm Rob Adams, Armed Forces, American Forces Radio. We are heard worldwide as my cat is going to walk right across in front of all of us. There he goes.
That's great.
Welcome
you,
to
you know
Zoom
what? Your cat now. Your cat now is world famous.
Welcome to Zoom broadcasting once again. I'm Rob Adams, Mark Jeffers, Dave Taromeo, Bob Small with us from the studios of WGCH. And I have to admit, and I know we'll get into the meat and potatoes of the show in a bit, but Mark, I turned on the radio 2 o'clock in the morning over the weekend, hearing us on the East Coast, really cool.
Well, I got to tell you, you say you're alarmed. I try, my usual step to the bathroom is at 3, so I tried to set that up earlier, but it just didn't work out. So, I missed it, but I understand it was a good broadcast, and special thanks to Mr. Bob Small for a fine job keeping us and our armed forces. The funny thing is about this guy is that it really is, entertainment for our armed forces guys is cool. And even though our bad jokes might make them laugh, and that's a really nice thing.
Guys and girls.
Guys and girls, correct.
And there you go. I will introduce the disciple of Mark Jeffers.
There you go.
Dave Taromeo.
Hello, guys. Good to see your smiling faces again.
There it is. How are you,
tonight,
Dave?
Tonight's show, we got a...
Doing well.
A blockbuster, Rob.
Well, tell us about it, Mark.
Well, I was going to say Rob on it, too, but yes. We have Super Agent Lee Steinberg joining us in just a few minutes. And then we have Mark Canizzaro from the New York Post, the author of 7 Days in Augusta, Behind the Scenes of the Masters. And by the way, they've been doing excerpts of this all week of this book, and it's really cool. So I've been enjoying that. So I can't wait to talk to him.
Yep. Can't wait to talk to all of them. But first, we've got to take a break here on the Clubhouse. Mark, Dave, and I come back with Lee Steinberg. We continue in just a moment here on 1490, 1055, and WGCH.com anywhere. Back with more of the Clubhouse in just a moment.
FYI, Lee is connected. I think
you
got that. Julia is his able assistant as
well. Very good.
I don't see her. I just see her name, but she's very helpful in setting this up as well as our class tomorrow.
We briefly had a little feedback from somewhere. I wasn't sure where.
I muted it because when Julia logged in, I'm not sure if that was it, but I muted her, and Lee is actually connecting right now. So
okay.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I think it's settled down, so I think we're okay.
Okay.
Thank God it wasn't me.
But it was you. Turkey.
I know. This is the
San Romeo show. All right, getting ready to come back. To you by
Parsonage, where their philosophy is to assist you in living life your way.
And remember to behave yourselves. We're also on Facebook Live and over on the internet.
Oh, that's so fun.
I'm saying that more for Mark.
Did I just say kidding. Something wrong?
Here we go. No, not at all. Here we go. Just warming things up on the Clubhouse once again. I'm Rob Adams. Glad you're along with us. Dave Taromeo, the disciple of Mark Jeffers, as well as Mark Jeffers, all here on the broadcast. These are the things you can write on these these Zoom screens, which is kind of funny.
We're just being silly.
Yep. Yep.
I will say this. I got to tell you guys. I mentioned this in the pre-production meeting that we were having, but I cannot believe that we have there's 200 million. I mean, get the right number. Zoom people now compared to like just 10 million a month ago. It's incredible.
It's so true.
Yeah.
So true. On my show, Doubleheader, a few hours ago, I had guests on via Zoom. And it's the first time I had done something like that, so it was kind of fun.
They sounded great, by the way.
Hello.
Yeah, they did. I had two baseball coaches on, so it was pretty exciting. Baseball coaches from Mayapack and John J. East Fishkill, New York. So it worked, and yeah, Lee Steinberg's right there. I see him clear as a bell. He's still kind of settling in.
He's in the house.
So pretty cool. I'll throw it back to you guys to do something a little more formal of an intro. I don't want to hog all the time.
Well, you know what? I will do an introduction because I'm so honored to be able to do that. And by the way,
he ran away when you said that.
He looks a lot better than we do on Zoom. He must, you know, his team must be doing a much better job. Anyways, it is my true honor to introduce a super, super sports agent and in the real life, Jerry Maguire, and a guy that helps students, as Dave will talk about. And a really great pleasure to join the clubhouse, Lee Steinberg. Welcome to the clubhouse, Lee.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So how are you? How's your family? How's everybody holding up?
Everything is great. You know, we haven't been impacted quite as hard here in California as I know New York is, and fortunately, but everybody's healthy. We're all quarantining, and we'll get through this.
Do what you got to do, right, Lee?
Exactly.
So Lee Steinberg, just so you, I mean, you guys know, has been very generous for this time in the past. He is this role of an agent class that he's speaking to tomorrow night at Manhattanville College. He's participated in the past. He also participated in an event we put on last September at Fordham University, which was anti-Semitism in sports. And I thought it was a great event. I don't know, Lee, and it was great. I mean, the man flew across country to participate. So I thought that was really special, and I thought it was a great day.
Thank you, Dave.
Lee, you've represented a who's who in the NFL. And, we're all fans. I don't know if you can see behind me. I'm a Jets fan. My kids are Jets fan. Unfortunately, I did not do the right thing by them. My wife is a Patriots fan. So it's a mixed marriage of sorts. But you have a draft coming up, and you have some great players, and we're a week away, and we appreciate you taking the time. What can you tell us about what's happening preparation wise for the draft?
Well, first I have to tell you that there was one weekend where I had my client Neil O'Donnell quarterbacking the New York Jets, and I had Dave Brown quarterbacking the New York Giants. And both teams lost, and I looked at the back of the New York Post, and it says, which New York quarterback stinks most? I knew I was not in California. But at any rate, well, the draft's a week from tonight, and we've got Tua Tagovailoa, the quarterback from Alabama, and Jerry Jeudy, the wide receiver from Alabama, and we have a good center, Keith Ismail from San Diego State, and Harrison Hand from Temple, a defensive back, and Patrick Taylor, a really good running back from Memphis. And so we have a slew of players, and we're getting them prepared for what will be a draft night at home with their family, as opposed to being at the draft in Las Vegas.
You know, Lee, I wanted to ask you about that exactly. And, you know, it's going to be obviously unique for you and your clients, but what do you think is going to, how are you preparing for this technical draft where they're going to have, you know, the commissioner is going to be calling out from his basement in Westchester? It's an interesting, how are you preparing them?
I think it'll be just fine because in 2016, we had a first round draft pick, Paxton Lynch, and he chose not to go to where the draft was held because if he had a party, he could involve a whole large group of people who had been with him, you know, since he was born. And so we did it in Deltona, Florida. In 2017, it was Patrick Mahomes. And again, he chose to be with, you know, his priest, his all of the coaches, teammates, and he was in Tyler, Texas. So it's sort of been this same way for a number of players who haven't gone to the draft, and it won't be any different for them.
I'm going to chime in, guys. Lee, it's Rob. Thanks for the time tonight. One thing I've wondered about is, and I know the NFL has kind of set this in place, but security, making sure that, you know, teams aren't getting information without, you know, without any advance notice. Have they told you anything of their security measures that they're going to take?
No, but I know they work with all sorts of security services, and you would like to have a secure line for every single part of this. But ultimately, the way that picks are done is they're sent in to the league offices in New York. And so if as long as that's secure, we'll be fine.
Yeah, okay. I mean, it's a very interesting time. Go ahead, Mark.
No, I'm sorry, Dave. I was going to say, I wanted to know, speaking of, you know, the whole problem that we're in right now, Lee, what are your thoughts on the return of sports, you know, hopefully sooner than later, but with no live audience? What do you think about that?
I think it'd be great. I mean, one of the problems has been that with people quarantined at home, what do they do for entertainment? And for a lot of us, sports is one of our primary forms of watching television or listening on the radio or following it on multiple platforms of content supply. So I think that whenever it's judged to be safe, the NBA is talking about potentially moving all their players to Las Vegas. They would quarantine them. They would continually test them. They might do a few regular season games because they were cut off, I think, with 16 games to go. And then they'll do the playoffs. And if a player happens to catch corona, they'll take him out of the mix and quarantine them. But we'll be able to see it on television. In terms of baseball, they're talking about potentially moving the players to Arizona. And they were cut off right before it was going to be baseball season, the 26th of March. And they may do the same thing. They may use all the stadia that are available for spring training down in Arizona to play their games. And again, they wouldn't have fans there at this early state. Hockey's talked about North Dakota, of all places, but I guess it's partly because they've got some teams in Canada and a lot of them in the Midwest. And so they would probably follow the same protocol. But for those of us who love sports, we've been so sports deprived. About the only information that's timely is what's happening with the NFL draft. And other than that, you can only watch so many five-year-old masters, right?
That's true.
That is true for sure. We're talking with Lee Steinberg here on the Clubhouse. Rob, Dave, and Mark. Lee, how did this happen? How did you get here? What made you want to be an agent? Take us back a little bit.
Well, there really was no field of sports agentry that existed as such when I started. So there was I didn't grow up wanting to be a sports agent. I went to law school, and I was a dorm counselor in an undergraduate dorm, and they moved the freshman football team into the dorm, and one of the students was the quarterback, Steve Bartkowski, and in 1975, the draft had been in January.
Yes. We're going to take a break, Rob.
We'll take a break on that note. We'll come back with more of the Clubhouse right after this, 1490. WGCH.
Lee, we're trying to parse this out for the show is actually being picked up by Sirius XM and Armed Forces Radio, thanks to Mark and his efforts. But so we're trying to keep to their clock. That's why usually we just, you know, ramble on forever, but that's why we've had these hard breaks.
You know, I've hosted 4 talk radio shows and done podcasts, so on the talk radio, I know about it.
Yeah, we're still getting used to the clock.
They're just still getting used to me, Lee. That led me right down like, Jesus.
What would happen to me all the time is I would know that we were up for a break, and then the guests would go on and on and on.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not
We've had that.
Julia, why aren't we seeing your pretty face?
Here we go, guys.
Okay.
Oh, she's a little bit camera shy.
Oh, okay.
Welcome back, everyone, to the clubhouse. Rob Adams, Mark Jeffers, Dave Taromeo, Lee Steinberg with us. Julia popped on for a moment to show her face and disappeared. And Lee, I had asked you a question before we went to break. We're still kind of getting used to the time here, but just kind of the background of your story.
So anyway, I was going to law school. I was a dorm counselor in an undergraduate dorm. They moved the freshman football team, and Steve Bartkowski was the quarterback. The draft then was in January, and he was the very first pick in the first round. The fact the draft was in January and all they really had was game film and all-star games makes me know that this draft will be fine. They'll have plenty of information and it'll they'll make good picks. But at any rate, he asked me to represent him, and there I was, brimming with legal experience, never having practiced before. And we got the largest rookie contract in NFL history. So we arrive in Atlanta, and they're at the airport, and there are Klieg lights flashing in the sky like for a movie premiere. A huge crowd was pressed up against the police line, and the first thing we heard was, "We interrupt the Johnny Carson show to bring you a special news bulletin. Steve Bartkowski and his attorney have just arrived at the Atlanta airport."
Wow.
I looked at him and said, "No, we're not in Berkeley anymore." But I really saw the idol worship and veneration that athletes were held in communities across the country. And I thought, you know, my dad had these two core values. One was treasure relationships, especially family. And the second was try to make a positive difference in the world. And I saw that athletes could be role models and they could retrace their roots and go back to the high school community that helped shape them, to the collegiate community that helped nurture them, and to the pro city, and set up scholarship funds and charitable foundations that would enhance the quality of life. So from then on, I tried to profile that type of athlete.
Very good. That's a good answer. And Lee, so, you know, obviously a lot happened. You had some of the great, probably some of the greatest players and quarterbacks in the 80s, Montana and some of those. And Bartkowski, by the way, was a very good quarterback. Some of us remember him and we're dating ourselves. But but then we come to your career. I mean, in the movie Jerry Maguire, which a lot of my counterparts in this industry I'm in now, this academia, sports business management, actually credit or claim that the movie actually spurred interest in this field. I don't know if you know that or not, but the movie, whether real to life or not, was certainly something that was very interesting in terms of based on your career and what happened to you. Can you speak to that a little bit about Jerry Maguire and all that stuff?
Are you saying I have only myself to blame? Cameron Crowe, a writer-director, called me up in 1993 and said he wanted to do a film which would be based on a character that was a sports agent. So he was like a fly on the wall following me around to the 1993 draft, to the league meetings in Palm Desert, where we were placing free agents, to he came to games with me, to USC scouting day, Super Bowl parties. He sat in my office for a long time, and I told him stories, lots and lots of stories. Yeah. So he went off and wrote the script, and my job as technical advisor was to vet the script to make sure that if you were a sports fan, you didn't get jarred out of the plot by things that didn't look correct or dialogue that wasn't right. And then he assigned me some of the actors. Cuba Gooding Jr. I took down to the Super Bowl in Arizona, and I made him pretend he was my client all week. And so I worked with a number of the actors. I actually had to show the quarterback, played by the actor Jerry O'Connell, how to throw a spiral, because he had gone to NYU and they didn't have a football program.
Very good.
Well, all right. So, Lee, I have to ask you, besides, and one other question, but Arliss. I loved Arliss. I loved Jerry Maguire. That was one of my favorite movies and one of my favorite TV shows. Arliss worked on that as well. So congratulations to that as well. That was a great series.
So I refused to take screen credit on Arliss because I gave them all my most nefarious ideas, things I could never do in real life. I mean, Arliss has an affair with the wife of one of his clients, which is a form of suicide. He ends up representing every part of this team that's moving the facility, the two teams. I mean, I had Arliss do all the things I could never do in real life.
I love that. That's but true. On a serious note, I wanted to mention also that you have secured over $3 billion for your 300-plus pro-athlete clients. And more importantly, I think, though, is directed more than $750 million to various charities around the world. And I think, you know, a round of applause to you.
Awesome for that.
And
great
this time,
job.
That really is
That's awesome.
Very, very cool.
Well, it's the athletes who do the programs. And, for example, Work Done does a program called Homes for the Holidays, where you just put the 175th single mother and her family into the first home they'll ever own by making a down payment and moving the family in. And these athletes have been fabulous. Patrick Mahomes, who I co-represent with Chris Cabot, has a program called 15 and the Mahomies, where he helps youth charities. And so it's really rewarding to see that athletes can focus on a problem and take action. And it's a great learning experience for them.
That's terrific. You know, we saw today, and we're seeing a lot, you know, we talk about this a lot because we're seeing in this time, in this crisis, the best and the worst in humanity. And I think, you know, with like people like Drew Brees, donating $5 million. And I think today we saw, I'm sorry, I'm losing track of his name, the guy who directed the Jackie, this today's Jackie Robinson Day, right? 42.
Yeah. Yep.
He gave $4.2 million, and that's, you know, for inner cities and for people who need this stuff. So we are seeing people step up to the plate to mix metaphors for a second, because Lee, have you ever managed or represented somebody outside of football?
Yes, we had a big baseball practice with some 60 players. We had players like CC Sabathia and Manny Ramirez and Pudge Rodriguez and Will Clark and Matt Williams and Sean Green in basketball. My first draft pick was Greg Anthony, who went back to the Knicks. And then we also had the other guard there, John Starks, and did a bunch of basketball players. And then boxers, I represented Lennox Lewis and Oscar De La Hoya, and Olympic athletes and the U.S. soccer team in the World Cup in 1994. So all sports.
But that's pretty, I mean, usually agents kind of hone in on one sport and kind of stay with that, right? So that's pretty rare. I mean, you've kind of covered all the angles. And did you say Sean Green from Iona?
Sean Green.
Yeah.
Which gave me my first Jewish athlete, which was sort of fun.
Gotcha.
He's a good ball player for sure. What did you have to know between, you know, switching between the different sports, Lee? That's fascinating. It's kind of piggybacking on what Dave was saying.
Well, I grew up a baseball fan, and I went to opening day when the Dodgers moved here to Los Angeles in 1958, and I loved the Angels. So, and Sandy Koufax had a big influence on my life when he didn't pitch on Yom Kippur. So I knew baseball and basketball. My parents were huge UCLA basketball fans. And
I wouldn't.
And so I was dragged to those games as kids. And then the Lakers, when I was growing up, had Wilt Chamberlain, Jerry West, and Elgin Baylor. And then that switched to, you know, the next group, which was Kareem and James Worthy and Magic. And so I knew all the sports and was excited. We don't know quite as much about hockey here, but I loved all those sports, and I followed boxing. Muhammad Ali was one of my idols.
I'm a Frasier guy myself, Lee, just so you know. I'm always the anti guy. Go ahead, Mark.
There you go. So Lee, I know that, you know, obviously we're in a crisis situation, but can you tell our audience a little bit about the Lee Steinberg Sports Career Conference? I know we'll do your teaching gauge class tomorrow, but tell us a little bit about that career conference, which in 2020 you have some dates. I know some of them have been postponed, but we'd like to hear a little bit about that.
So I started this with my partner, Chris Cabot, and the goal was to try and train a new generation of sports professionals who would have ethics and values. And you go to law school, business school, or sports marketing, and they teach you the principles, but not specific skills. So we do an agent academy in which the young people get up and actually recruit an athlete. I mean, they recruited Marvell Tell of the Colts and Ronald Jones of Tampa Bay and Patrick Mahomes. They then have to do a negotiation where half of them play general managers and half of them play agents. They then have to do damage control. So someone gets Baker Mayfield at a controversial point in his life and has to explain that at a press conference. And they set up a charitable foundation. And so we're training them with specific skills. Our VP of media, Julia Farron, has come up with the concept of doing this virtually to respond with the new reality that we face. And we go ahead.
I was gonna let you finish your thought, Lee, and take a break.
Okay.
Stick around with us, and we'll come back with more of the Clubhouse. We still have Mark Canizzaro set to join us, so we will do all that and more when we continue here on the Clubhouse. 1490 AM, 105.5 FM, WGCH.com, anywhere.
I called for help as soon as I saw her.
There was a freeze there.
Does Canizzaro have the info, obviously? So what time is he supposed to be coming?
He's on for 7:30.
Right, but did we have a freeze just there? I saw everything.
I didn't have any. No, there have been a couple of hiccups, but no freeze.
I did freeze.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yours did.
All right, so we should probably.
That did just now.
Say, thank you to Lee, and then get back, and then go to Mark.
Oh, yeah, Mark, you did freeze. Just
I'm
now, you.
I'm not sure. Am I not?
All right.
I'm okay now?
Yeah, we're coming back. As I said last week, this is one of the big juggling acts, probably of my career. Juggling Zoom is just—it's a different. It's just so cool, but yeah. It's a different way to broadcast. But it's a lot of fun.
Well, when you're broadcasting and you're also trying to tape, create a radio show. It's an interesting mix, but it's been great. Lee's been terrific. Very, very interesting. I'm looking forward to having him tomorrow in our class. Obviously, we'll get in a little deeper with some more of these questions, but we really appreciate his time, especially a week before the draft.
Absolutely true. Lee, you were in the middle of saying something before we had to go to break. I wanted to let you finish that point.
That at the sports career conference is broader in that people get to hear from people that run a league or a team or a conference or the athletic department. They have a panel on sports marketing and branding. They have a panel on sports media, hearing from broadcasters and a group of people that might be print reporters or PR people. They learn about how to do a charity and how to put a charitable foundation together. And so we have panels in a number of different fields, and so they get a taste of each field. And then they have an actual mentoring hour, which is really terrific because they get to meet one-on-one with folks. So next Monday and Tuesday, In the morning, if you go to steinbergsports.com and you look up Agent Academy, we're doing a virtual one. So, brave new world. You guys are on Zoom. We'll be on Zoom, too.
Awesome.
There you go.
Yeah, I have to tell you, that's something, you know, in terms of these, a lot of these sport management programs, as you probably know, I mean, they're really kind of bogus. And at the end of the day, this program that Mark and I help run is really run by sports practitioners, people who are in the industry, people who are teaching, are working in the industry. And I think it's very important what you're doing. And I think, you know, we'd love to stay connected. You know, we've worked with Frank Vuno and ISI and the people who know you, and you're well respected. And at the end of the day, I think that's very important that you're offering that kind of service, Lee.
Good.
Let's have a big round of applause for Lee, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, Lee, great job.
Thank you. I got the only live audience on media these days, right?
It's true. We clap in synchronization, I think.
That is true. That is very true.
So are we good?
We're good.
Okay. Talk to you tomorrow.
Lee, thank you.
Thank you, Lee. Thanks, Lee, very much. That was Lee Steinberg joining us here on the Clubhouse, waiting on Mark Cannizzaro. Where would you like to take this particular program, Mr. Jeffers?
Yeah.
I just told, apparently I'm on low bandwidth, so I told Claire to get off the internet. So.
Well, your sound had
hopefully
been fine
that will,
all.
Hopefully that will be better.
Your sound has been
fine. I see Bob Smalls on camera. Does he need anything from us, or are we're waiting for Mark?
Yeah.
Well, what do we got going on?
You sound great.
You know, by the way, Lee, and I forgot to mention this, he was very instrumental, excuse me, I have ice in my mouth, in keeping the San Francisco Giants from moving to California. San Francisco actually had some offers, you know, back in the, I think it was early 90s, to move to California. And he formed a group to basically fight that and to keep them in San Francisco.
When you say California, you mean, because obviously San Francisco is California. Which part of California? You mean?
No. I'm sorry. I meant Florida. They wanted to move to
Florida.
To
Florida. Yeah. Yes. The Giants and the A's for a while were rumored to be leaving the Bay Area. In fact, I believe it was the A's. They had started printing them as the Denver A's at one point there, I think in the late 70s, if I recall.
Yeah, it's fine. It's amazing because they started in Philadelphia, right? The A's?
Philadelphia Athletics,
right?
Yep, they were the Philadelphia A's. That's where the white elephant comes from on their uniforms. That's what John McGraw called them, was the white elephants.
That's right.
The famed Hall of Fame manager. So, yeah, Mark Cannizzaro still coming up. A Clubhouse report still to be had as well, Mr. Jeffers.
Well, I have two quick things since we're waiting for Mark. And he did confirm, so I'm thinking he should be zooming in, as we say.
Zoom.
All right. So, our friends, and we miss them, at Grand Prix New York.
We do.
Are still offering, if you can purchase a Grand Prix New York racing gift card to be used when they reopen, Grand Prix will be offering support for Westchester families and the frontline people during the COVID-19 crisis. They will donate 50% of all gift card sales from now until April 30th to Feeding Westchester. Feeding Westchester's mission is to end hunger in Westchester County with more than 300 partners. They source and distribute food and other resources to towns across Westchester to help. And that, I think, is a great thing. So we applaud them, and we can't wait to get back to them.
Great job.
That's great. That is Grand Prix New York 333 North Bedford Road, Mount Kisco, New York, who we hope to be back and visiting with very soon.
Hopefully.
I agree. And also I have, and we mentioned the pre-production meeting, but I have to give you the story now that we is Tom Laidlaw, our dear friend from the Clubhouse and from Teaching with Dave, and it's birthdays today, so happy birthday to Tom Laidlaw.
We all sent
him notes, right? And so he wrote back to me, you know, Mark, you know, Grasshopper, The best way for you to stay socially distant is to wear your Syracuse holiday sweater.
Yeah, that would keep people away. He's right. Did he say that?
And he did say that. I know. And he's absolutely 100% correct.
Yeah, yeah. That would keep people away for sure.
So there you have it.
Good point.
What a, we'll have to have Mr. Laidlaw on soon.
I have to ask you guys a question. Yes. You know, the other night they had the Islanders clinching championship game against the Flyers, their first cup that they won in overtime.
Yep.
Is it weird that I was nervous watching that?
No. No, not at all. Okay. Super Bowl 43 was recently on a Friday night, and I watched it, Steelers-Cardinals. And when the Cardinals scored, well, first of all, when the interception return for a touchdown right before halftime happened, I actually put my hands up and I'm going, what is wrong with me? I know how this play is turning out. I've watched it. And then Larry Fitzgerald scores to give the Cardinals the lead. And I'm like, Ben can do this. Ben can pull. And I'm going, wait a minute. I know how this ends.
You know the outcome. Yeah.
All right. Yes. I have to interrupt. This is, of course, why we're doing Zoom and live. Mark has just sent me an email. Oh, and now he's calling. So I will.
It's a play-by-play of Mark Cannizzaro.
No, no, right, right. But I'm just saying that he can. If you could send him a Zoom invite to Mark, M-A-R-K, C-A-N-N-I-Z at AOL.com.
Do you have
it? Get that? Can you send it? Because I'm David. I would say to you. Okay.
Can you repeat that?
M-A-R-K. C-A-N-N-I-Z at AOL.com.
For those listening on the radio,
AOL?
At AOL.com. That's what he just said.
AOL, huh? Okay.
Dave, in the upper right corner of the Zoom setup.
Or I could call him and just put him on speaker.
No, let me just shoot him a quick note.
Okay.
Mark in the lower left corner.
You guys carry on. Carry on.
I know, we're going to carry on, because I'm also going to call him and tell him that we're doing that. This is okay. Because
why don't you do the clubhouse report while I'm doing this? No?
Well, let me just give him a quick, so I don't lose him. And then we can do the clubhouse report. Gosh, no. He's aware of the clubhouse report, by the way. I told him he... And the clubhouse report can always be preempted. Gosh.
Oh, is that allowed? I thought that was illegal in certain states.
Well, it is illegal in certain states.
In a state, by the way, in New York, where they are now basically mandating that we all wear masks in public, which... Interesting times, Dave.
Boy, I tell you, very, very interesting, very strange. And wait, there's more.
Yeah, but wait, there's more.
We sent you a new invite, and you're actually on the air as I'm speaking. So
he's coming. He's in. Here he comes.
Oh, you're coming.
Anybody have a drum roll?
We'll talk to you in a second.
There he is.
Look at this. You go. See.
See, even a sports writer can figure this shit out, right?
It is live radio. I like that. So, ladies and gentlemen, it is my privilege and honor to introduce.
You there?
Oh, there he is.
Can you hear me?
He's here. We hear you fine.
All right. Sorry about that. I was having issues trying to get on.
Well, all right, Mark, you have to wait for my intro now. I wrote this large intro for you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that.
I'm going to give it to you right now.
Oh, okay.
We're live.
Fair enough.
So, New York Post writer, and by the way, my favorite New York Post writer, Mark Canizzaro, and author of 7 Days in Augusta, Behind the Scenes of the Masters. Welcome to the clubhouse.
Thank you very much.
Welcome, Mark.
You know, guys, I actually wish it's the clubhouse. Are you playing golf outside of the clubhouse? Because we can't play golf here in New Jersey.
Can't play in New York.
We're in New York as well. So,
is the studio in New York?
We're all over. I'm in Connecticut, Mark.
Because I'm understanding you can play in Connecticut a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. Come on, we'll play. We'll take you out.
I heard Richter Park is sold out every day. From my people are telling me.
Yeah. No. We can get out. We can get out.
Yeah. I'm welcome
to come. Come to New Canaan.
I'm in New Jersey and I got nothing.
New York's got nothing as well. So we're
I set a net up in my driveway this weekend and hit balls off a mat. The first shot hit my neighbor's roof. I shanked it.
Were you taking lessons from Mark?
Oh, hold on. Let me tell you, hold on. He can play with us now.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. All right.
All right, so Mark, before we have to talk about the book, but I have to compliment you. You mentioned golf courses. You know, and you are my favorite comic. I read the post every day, but your evaluation of the tri-state courses recently, the holes, the best 18 holes was tremendous. So, were there any Connecticut holes in that article?
Well, we were a little short on Connecticut, to be honest with you, Mark. We had 12. I was at number 12 at Richter Park, which is a really cool hole. I mentioned Richter Park. I'm giving them too much pub, but there's a lot of good stuff. But we were kind of, it was New York metro area, so it's a little complicated. I probably could have picked something out of Bruce Park or Sterling Farms or something like that. But we probably shortchanged Connecticut, if I'm being honest.
All right. So now let's delve in. We have some time. Tell us about this wonderful book, 7 Days in Augusta, Behind the Scenes at the Masters. I read the excerpts, and you know, our friends from your publisher sent Triumph Books sent us some information. Tell us a little bit about this book.
Well, it was a cool thing. They came to me about a year and a half ago, and we were bouncing off some, you know, they threw me a couple of ideas, and I said, listen, I said, I'm about to cover my 25th Masters, which was a year ago this past week. Wow. And I said, I've seen a lot of stuff down there during my years, not just on the golf course, but just things around the town and, you know, the way that city transforms that one week a year when the circus comes to town and just some things that most people don't see on television, Mark. And the thing is, the Masters, I look at the Masters, it's the most difficult ticket in sports to acquire, okay? And if you can get it through the secondary market, you're spending like $10,000 for a badge for the week that actually costs $375 face value. And Augusta National, as you guys know, is one of the most exclusive places on the planet to get onto. So to me, I kind of always look, you know, at myself, as being really fortunate and to be able to be down there and be able to, you know, to do this as part of work and have this experience, but most people don't have that experience. And
we're going to grab a quick timeout. Back in a moment.
Okay.
This is the sound of one person walking.
I saw your, I saw your hand up, and I was like, okay, I got to shut it down.
Well, when we try to signal Mark, we go like this.
I usually do this.
I just give myself the finger, actually. It's a reverse.
You know, Mark, I've been with you on that.
By the way, is my light shining too much? Am I doing proper marketing here by, you know, is the book being?
Oh, no, there you go.
Oh, now that's better. Yeah, that was better.
Turn the light off for a sec.
That's better. Yeah, too much shine. No, I've done a couple of these things, and actually some family Zooms and stuff with my wife's family. Yeah. I've been getting roundly razzed for my marketing job.
Yeah, no, that's why I have all this crap in the background. I got this, you know, my half.
We're coming back.
Patriots flag.
Okay. I can pick up before we left off.
Back with you on the clubhouse. Mark Canizzaro joining us from the New York Post. Rob Adams, Mark Jeffers, Dave Taromeo. Mark, it's our night in which we're catching people mid-sentence as we go to break. So I want to let you finish your thought. Go ahead.
That's the beauty of Zoom, as you well know. So, the greater point I was making was Augusta is you can't get on there unless you know a member to play. And it's the most difficult ticket in sports to get. So to me, I've always viewed the Masters as this kind of almost like this mythical sporting event that people see on television but can't get to. So my pitch to the publishers was essentially, you know, let me try to bring the reader into the Masters for a week. The week that I see, I usually get there Monday and I'm there through Sunday, so it's 7 days. And so let me try to bring them in for that week and what that experience is like, you know, without them having to spend $10,000 in the secondary market for a scalp ticket. So I try to do that, you know, and, you know, I brought some of the book is about some of the great things I've seen on the golf course. I mean, Tiger's win in 97 and Norman's collapse in 96 against Aldo and Mickelson's first major championship in 04, you know, right through last year with Tiger winning. But I also try to do some other things. I did a chapter on the Butler Cabin, which, you know, it's kind of like, I got to be honest with you, I didn't even know where the Butler Cabin was till my seventh or eighth Masters. You know,
I thought Jim Nance was making that up, but
yeah, I always just thought it was because the thing is, on Sunday night, you have to understand, I'm cranking my stories out, you know, while that, you know, I'm like literally writing running stories, you know, in the media center while Nance is in there, you know, with the chairman, you know, slipping the jacket over the winner's shoulders. So, you know, a couple of years ago, I actually sat down, it was actually part of my book was when I sat down with Nance in the Butler cabin. It was the first time I'd ever been there. And that was a cool experience. But, you know, what goes on under that old oak tree that's right behind the clubhouse, yeah. That's every mover and shaker, you know, in golf is there all week long. Deals are cut, you know, all kinds of stuff will take place there. And right down to, like, you know, what goes on around the town. John Daly down the street, you know, posted up at a Hooters with his RV, you know, signing memorabilia.
Hello, Daly.
So it's just, you know, I try to do a little bit of everything that I've seen there, you know, everything that I see during that 7 days. So that was kind of the genesis of the book.
There's one in particular, the excerpt about the green jacket.
Yeah.
I thought that was an awesome section. Tell our audience a little bit about that, Mark.
Well, I mean, what's the green jacket is, you know, for our listeners is, you know, the Masters winner gets a green jacket, you know, and the funny thing is, like, Jack Nicklaus has won six of them. Jack has one green jacket. Tiger's won his fifth last year. He has one green jacket. You don't actually get five or six green jackets. And what happens is the winner of that year's event can wear that jacket out of the premises of Augusta National for that entire year until the next tournament begins, after which that jacket stays on the premises. He can wear the jacket around the grounds, at dinners, whatever. So no member is walking around Augusta National, you know, stopping at a pizza joint, you know, wearing his green jacket.
So you're saying they're really cheap.
Well, they actually are not. Oddly enough, they're valued at about like $250. I mean, I think it's one of the most unique, you know, trophies in sports, so to speak. You know, I mean, I kind of look at it a little bit. I'm a big hockey fan. Like, I kind of look at it like the Stanley Cup. When a team wins the Stanley Cup, they get it for the year, but that's a team sport. So they're handing it, you know, one guy gets it, you know, for a week and he brings it up to Saskatoon or whatever and brings it to show all his people at his golf course and all that kind of stuff. And everybody's drinking out of it, all that kind of stuff. You can't drink out of the green jacket, but you only get it for the year. And that Masters winners gets it only for 1 year. So, and guys have done fun things with it. Sergio Garcia has worn it to Wimbledon and to, you know, huge soccer matches. And, you know, Phil Mickelson was famously photographed the morning after his 2010 Masters win with his kids in a Krispy Kreme drive-through getting donuts for breakfast. You know, Tiger talked about sleeping in it for the first two nights when he first won at 97. So it's a really fun element to the Masters, part of the cruel tradition that they have there.
That's really cool. So you're saying we need to know somebody, and since we know you, like, we should just set up our foursome now, right?
Listen, you know what? I've gotten a chance to play it a couple, three times.
Nice.
They have a lottery for the media, and it's literally like winning the lottery. I remember my first, three or four, I got really discouraged because I wasn't getting picked. And I was working for the New York Post, so that should count for something. But every year I would see, like, Rick Riley, his name, would, you know, who's a very famous Sports Illustrated writer.
Yeah, sure.
Somehow Riley was on the list every year, and I'm like, this is not really that random, is it? So, but I've been fortunate enough to get on there a couple times and I have zero contact whatsoever. In fact, funny story, there's a Craig Heatley is one of the Augusta members. He's from New Zealand, wonderful guy. And he's kind of a lot of the members with the green jackets have certain duties during the week, and Craig happens to be kind of the media chairman. And Craig has always been really, really nice to me. The first few times I met him, I'm like, oh, I think I got an in with this dude. You know, I think this might work into something, you know. Then I kind of realized that Craig's really nice to everybody, and I didn't have any in whatsoever. And I dropped a couple of hints like lead balloons, you know, like, hey, Craig, you know, listen, love to come out here in the off season to try to, you know, if you're ever around, want to play 18. He's like, yeah, we can't do that. So I got no juice, basically. So I can't help you.
Well, nice talking to you, Mark. Take care.
I'm sorry, Dave. I did what I could. I got to be, it's, you know, we're supposed to be transparent here, you know?
No, at all.
I have some non-booked questions for Mark. But before we do that, I want to know, where can our audience get a hold of this really wonderful book, 7 Days in Augusta, Behind the Scenes of the Masters?
Well, Mark, you can get it in a number of places. I know that Amazon is a very popular place to get books, but I'm also, from what I understand, is they are made books a low priority because there's so many things during this pandemic that they have to send out that are obviously more important than books. So from what I'm hearing is if you go on Amazon, it might be a month lead time before you get the book. I know you can go like on a barnesandnoble.com. You can go on, the publisher is Triumph Publishing out of Chicago. If you go on their website, you can get it in 2 seconds. My biggest suggestion or whatever is, I know during this period that there's a lot of independent bookstores that are obviously hurting, you know, in this situation where they are doing curbside service and whatnot. So I guess what I would say is, if anybody's going out to look for it, if you're okay going out and you have a bookstore in your neighborhood, you know, go check that out first, because obviously that's the better place to do it and better for their business and whatnot. But yeah, triumphbooks.com, you know, Triumph Publishing or Barnes and Noble, and if last resort would probably be Amazon, but they're so backed up right now, it would be a while.
Well, you know, it'll be a great Father's Day gift as we get closer to getting out of this jam. So in June,
Mark, I just met you tonight. Are you dropping a hint already for gifts? I mean, are we all
supposed to? Yes. And I was trying to find a way to get my book, you know, signed by you, of course. All right, quick question. We're going to move on because you have some time.
I got all night. All right. Where am I going? I'm not allowed out of
I watched the Masters this past weekend. No, it wasn't this year's Masters. However, reading your column in the Post, I thought both were really well done. And Tigers, of course, had an audience level of unbelievable for a replayed Masters. But what was your input on there, your thoughts on the Mickelson and the Tiger coverage this past week?
Now, Mark, let me just clarify. What was well done was the CBS broadcast, not my column, correct? I just want to make that clear.
Oh, no, I'm a big fan. It was, no. You spelled everything right, I think.
I'm only kidding. Now, you know, I did a column leading into the weekend on Saturday. I spent some time with Jim Nantz on the phone, he talked to me about what they did, how they kind of spliced Phil. Obviously, Saturday, they did the broadcast of the 04. Masters, which was Phil's first major championship, and obviously Sunday was Tiger last year. So he actually did a Zoom like we're doing right now,
right,
and with Phil for about 2 hours early last week, did the same thing with Tiger, and kind of had them narrate, you know, some of the things they were thinking about and what was going on in, you know, through their mind during those wins. And I watched them as well, and I thought it was fascinating. I thought they did a great job. It was, you know, as I said to Nantz, I said it's a little bit of a surrogate Masters weekend for all of us to some degree, so we can have a little taste, even though it wasn't really the same.
I will say this, you know, because I think Mark Jeffers may have told you, Mark C, that this is going to be picked up on Sirius and on Armed Forces Radio. You are not just a very good writer, and golf is one area that you cover, but as a long-suffering, and I do mean long-suffering, Mets, Jets, and Knicks fan, you are an excellent follow in the Post and have been for many years. And it seems to me like, you know, and I don't know if we've ever met, because I was at Iona for many years in the Football Foundation, but Rob has. And it just seems to me like you're one of us. You're one of us who's just, you know, a good writer and getting us the story. And I just want you to know I appreciate that very much.
That actually is – I really do appreciate that, because that's the way I view myself, as just somebody who's lucky to be doing these things. And is it getting dark in here? Should I turn my light on, by the way? I keep looking in the thing. Oh, actually, that's even worse, isn't it? Sorry. I appreciate what I'm doing, you know, and I do try to convey that.
You do
Knicks,
very well.
Knicks, Jets, and Mets. That's a tough trifecta right there.
You know, I got the Islanders, and I said I would never complain after the fourth cup, and I haven't. These guys will tell you.
I'm a Ranger fan, so, you know, right, well, I grew up as a rabid Ranger fan.
Yes, well, these guys are as well. So,
but no, you know, listen, I thoroughly enjoy doing it. And I think what you, not to be too corny, but what you just said is really kind of what my goal is for what I do for work. So that, that, if that comes across, then I really appreciate that.
I'll sign off now. So
Dave said something smart. Okay, go ahead. Rob, over to you.
He just said something I liked. I didn't say it was smart.
Okay.
That's true. Good
point. I got a little worried there for a second. I'm okay.
Yeah. I didn't go to Syracuse.
I will chime in and say Mark and I met many years ago through Michael Breed when we used to do Tea Time on WGCH.
Absolutely.
And we used to connect at the Buick Classic a lot. And yeah. You always seem like you pay it forward. Is that fair to say?
I try to, but, you know, I mean, yeah.
Mark, you know there are a lot of unapproachable guys in our business, and you were never that guy. You were always approachable. Oh.
No, I mean, well, I mean, listen, who the hell am I? I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm a knucklehead, you know, like you guys are, except for Mark. Of
course. That's for sure. But,
thank you very much for that.
But, you know, it's funny you mentioned Breeder. I don't even know if you know my history to some degree, but I used to be the sports editor of the Greenwich Time.
Oh, yeah.
I used to work for one of my first jobs out of college was the Greenwich News, which is the weekly paper there, right? And Mark Yusko used to run the show where you guys
Mark Yusko,
right?
Yeah.
Remember Mark?
Yep. No, I know Mark well.
I used to go on Mark's show, like, you know, covering Greenwich High School football with Mike Ornato, who was the coach back in the day. I don't know if you guys have Greenwich history back there or not, but
oh, I do.
So I used to write up when I was at the Greenwich Time, right out of college. I used to write up Breed's high school golf results back in the day. His little 9-hole thing. So I see the one going up. I gotta stop gasbagging it.
No, I'm just giving us the warning that we're starting to wind down on time. Yeah. That's all. We got about a minute and a half left, Mark.
So, yeah, no, but I've got obviously a huge – I'm from Fairfield, Connecticut, and I, you know, like I said, my first real job out of college is in Greenwich, so I've got a lot of history there. I don't know where Yusko is right now, but we've had some great moments over here.
He's had some health problems, but he's around. He's doing well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he still hosts the old-timers dinner every year.
Yeah. Oh, good. Okay.
Mark, yep. Where did you go to school?
I went in college. I went to Ithaca College. Did you say you went to Syracuse?
No.
Mark, I went to Syracuse.
Jeffries did, yeah.
Oh, Mark looks a lot older than me, so it must have been years before I was up around that area.
I love Ithaca, and I'm much younger than I appear.
I spent a little bit of time over at Fagan's drinking pints of mixed drinks over there for a lot.
Oh, we know each other well, Mark, because I was there with you. Real quick, give us one more time. We're going to go to small bookstores, or we're going to try to get a hold of this lovely book, 7 Days in Augusta, Behind the Scenes at the Masters. Mark, great having you on the clubhouse. Thank you so much for being on.
Thanks for having me, guys. Sorry I've been in the dark all night over here. It's getting darker and darker outside.
Thanks to Lee Steinberg as well. Thanks to Mark Canizzaro. Thanks to Bob Small. That's it. We're out of here. For Mark Jeffers, Dave Taromeo, I'm Rob Adams saying goodnight from the clubhouse. From home again, we'll see you next week, 1490, 1055, WGCH.com, anywhere.
Good stuff, guys.
That was fast.
Well, I was good a job, few minutes late getting on. Hey, listen, anytime, just give me a shout if you want to talk football or whatever you want to do, you know?
Awesome.
Mark, I just connected with you on LinkedIn.
You know what? Did you really? Seriously or no?
Yeah, I did just while we were doing the show. You don't check that one normally?
I don't think I realized I was even on LinkedIn.
Where's the best place to connect with you?
Connect me with me on, either on Twitter or obviously, I mean, obviously Mark has my cell phone, but on Twitter, which is just my name, Mark Canizzaro.
Yeah, I'm connected.
Mark Canizzaro. And I'm on Facebook too. Just same thing, just Mark Canizzaro.
So, okay, you got it.
Yeah, you know what? I think years ago, I joined LinkedIn, and I don't even know how to use it. I'm kind of a technophobe, you know.
Nice.
Perfect.
Mark, I put your cell phone in every bathroom I found in the Tri-State area.
I hope they're at least all ladies' rooms, at least.
Yeah. Yes, they were.
Perfect. Hey, listen, it was good talking to you guys. Like I said, anytime you want to do something, let me know, okay?
All right.
Thanks, thanks, Mark.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Good dude.
Okay.
That was fast. Holy shit.
Yeah, how do we edit that?
I'm sorry, I swear, Bob. It just slipped out.
Bob, I wait a minute.
You're muted. Bob, you're muted.
Yeah, Bob. I can't hear you, Bob.
He's swearing, that's why.
Fuck you.
Okay. Now I'm not muted.
Okay.
Yep. I'll just, we're got slow. I'll just move the tail end into that and we'll be fine.
All right. I still need
a little of that second segment, towards the beginning of the second segment. I don't know what happened here, but it dropped out.
Okay. I'll take my recording, put it in Dropbox, and let you grab it there.
Okay. Good show, Jeffers.
What Dropbox?
I'll send you a note. It's my Dropbox.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'll send you a note.
That works.
That should work.
It was a good show content-wise.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It was a juggling act in otherwise, but yes.
But we'll have, you know what, by the way, Mark, we'll both be on again, but Mark was, he's good.
Mark,
we had the squeaky chair.
Late.
And he had a worse studio than me. He had lights for bad. But he's a good guy. Yeah.
Mark's a good guy. Yes, he is. But Lee had the squeaky chair.
All right.
Mr. Small, thank you so much.
Thanks, Bob.
I mean, I know it's. I mean, it's tough to do. I don't know, but thank you.
Well, this Zoom is great. I think it's fantastic.
It's fantastic. It's just there are limitations to it, but otherwise it's really great.
Dave, you need to get like a six pack next to you so you can just
Chair. You can't get rid of the squeaky chair because
that's why you need better microphones for one thing.
Oh, I'm gonna go out and buy it. I'm buying a, you know.
I'm talking about Lee. I'm not even talking about you, Mark.
You are talking about me secretly.
Jeez, I'm getting confused.
Jeffers.
Anything else?
Anyway, that's all I got.
What are we eating?
All right.
What are you getting? Pizza.
Pizza.
And Canizero just accepted me on Facebook, so there we go.
There you go, boys. You're good to go.
All right.
Good job, fellas.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Good night, guys.
Good night.
Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go.